Welcome to our 10th of July SPG podcast. Good morning, it's Dr. Cassidy here, and I hope you're keeping well. It's lovely this morning seeing pupils and staff dressed in their favourite sporting outfits or wearing their teams and individual sporting outfits from outside school. And so on to pupil success. We had a brilliant public speaking competition on Wednesday. Congratulations to all the girls and the English team on all their hard work over the last weeks preparing for the finals. We know that some girls are anxious about presenting their speeches, and please say well done to your daughter for engaging so positively in developing this really important skill of public speaking. So congratulations to the public speaking finalists. To Freya in 7A, to Robin in 7U, to Saoirse in 7U, to Aaron in 8T, to Maya in 8P, to Cece in 8T, to Ifra in 8T, to Annabelle in 8A, and to Ileana in 7S, to Chibundo in 7T, and to Annabelle in 8L. And congratulations to the girls who got to the final of the poetry recitation competition. To Carolina in 7U, to Marin in 7P, to Izzy in 7T, to Estella in 7L, to Sarah in 7S, to Ileana in 7S, to Jane in 7T, to Hannah in 7S, to Lucy in 7A, to Tiara Lily in 7U, to Emily in 8U, to Milka in 8S, and to Favour in 8A. It takes huge bravery to stand on the stage of the new hall in front of over 400 pupils and staff and deliver a speech or a poem. And we are very, very proud of all of the finalists, as they should be of themselves. The overall winner of the public speaking competition for 2026 was Saoirse from 7U, with the runners-up of Chibundo in 7T and Maya in 8P. The poetry recitation winner was Milka from 8S, with the runners-up of Emily from 8U and Jane from 7T. The standard was so high in the final, and all of the finalists deserve huge congratulations, and particularly the placed winners. And so now we're going to hear Saoirse and Milka deliver their speeches so that you can enjoy and learn from them as much as we did.
Hi, my name is Saoirse from 7U, and today I'm going to be speaking to you about uniform. Uniform or no uniform? That is the question. Good morning, everyone. Today I'm going to address the idea of having no school uniform. Imagine it, wearing your own clothes every day. It would be amazing. Waking up excited every morning, thinking, I want to wear my favourite pink hoodie, my favourite jeans, and my matching high top Converse, and having the freedom to wear it. However, I can't do this because I have to wear uniform. I don't know about you, but if I had the freedom to do it, I would love it. Keeping up with fashion trends, styling my hair exactly how I want, carrying nice bags and matching accessories, having the comfort of my hoodie when I'm feeling down, or the bright energy of a flowery dress when I'm happy. Being able to express myself through fashion and show my individuality. Wouldn't it be glorious? But let's weigh it up. What are the actual benefits of school uniform? Because wearing a uniform doesn't make someone smarter, more hardworking, or more likely to achieve good grades. Academic success comes from effort, dedication, and quality teaching, not from a blazer and tie. Uniforms can also be uncomfortable. Many students find them itchy, restrictive, or unsuitable for different weather conditions. Blazers and jumpers can feel too hot in the summer, while some fabrics can be irritating to wear for long periods of time. For students with sensory needs, this can be an even bigger challenge. Pieces like seams, collars, and ties can cause significant discomfort and make it harder to concentrate in class. School uniforms cost too much. Parents often have to spend over £100 per child every year. This makes it hard for families to pay for other basic needs. In addition, uniforms limit self-expression, as clothing is one of the ways young people show their interests and creativity. By forcing every student to look the same, don't we lose a little bit of our individuality? So, are there any positives of wearing a uniform? Well, yes. We don't have to spend ages deciding what to wear every morning because we know exactly what we're putting on. And then another thought crossed my mind. We have just talked about the financial burden of school uniform, but what about the financial burden of wearing our own clothes every day? The pressure to have a different outfit, a new trend, the latest trainers, the right handbag, the right brand. For many families, that pressure would be enormous. And then I started thinking about something even more important. What about those who struggle financially? What about those who struggle with choices? What about those who are still trying to figure out who they are? We are all part of the same team. Imagine if a football team walked onto the pitch wearing completely different clothes. We wouldn't know they were a team. They wouldn't feel united. They wouldn't have the same sense of belonging. I know where I belong. I don't know about you, but I'm proud to be a St. Paul's girl. You're my team. When I wear my uniform, people know who I am and where I belong. It gives me a sense of belonging and community. It reminds me that I'm a part of something bigger than myself. But most importantly, imagine a school with no uniform. Oh my gosh, what is she wearing? Who does she think she is? That is so last season. Has she even looked in the mirror this morning? That colour belongs on a rainbow, not her. She obviously knows nothing about fashion. And suddenly, the freedom I thought I wanted doesn't seem so appealing. So although school uniforms aren't perfect, they help create equality, reduce stress, and remind us that we all belong. People should be judged by their character, their behaviour, and the way they treat others, not by the clothes they wear. You know what, girls? I think I'll just wear my uniform. Thank you.
Wasn't that just the most fantastic speech? And we're very, very proud of Saoirse, and we're very proud that she is a member of our SPG family and team. And I don't know about you, but I think she could tell Bridget Phillipson a thing or two about the importance of uniform. Well done on the oratory, well done on the thought, and well done on your superb public speaking skills.
Hello everyone, my name is Milka from AS and I will be reciting Sister Shape by Alfred Lord Tennyson. We were two daughters of one race. She was the fairest in the face. The wind is blowing in turret and tree. They were together and she fell. Therefore revenge became me well, or the earl was fair to see. She died, she went to burning flame. She'd mixed her ancient blood with shame. The wind is howling in turret and tree. Whole weeks and months and early and late, to win his love I lay in wait, or the earl was fair to see. I made a feast, I bade him come. I won his love, I brought him home. The wind is roaring in turret and tree. And after supper, on a bed, upon my lap he laid his head. Oh, the earl was fair to see. I kissed his eyelids into rest, his ruddy cheeks upon my breast. The wind is raging in turret and tree. I hated him with the hate of hell, but I loved his beauty passing well. Oh, the earl was fair to see. I rose up, In the silent night, I made my dagger sharp and bright. The wind is raving in turret and tree. As half asleep, his breath he drew. 3 times I stabbed him, through and through. Oh, the Earl was fair to see. I curled and combed his comely head. He looked so grand when he was dead. The wind is blowing in turret and tree. I wrapped his body in the sheet and laid him at his mother's feet. Oh, the Earl was fair to see.
Congratulations to Milka on this fantastic recitation. She has done Alfred Lord Tennyson proud, and she has done herself proud with both the intonation, the empathy, and the performance of the poem. Very, very well done. Congratulations again to all of the girls for their excellent participation in the public speaking competitions, and huge thanks to Mrs. Howard and all of the English team for all of their hard work organising this unique and wonderful opportunity for our girls at St. Paul's. We had the graduation of the Key Stage 3 scholars at Birmingham University on Wednesday. It was a beautiful day, and the girls were exemplary and articulated their studies and skills with huge confidence and poise. Congratulations to Estella from 7L, Savannah from 7U, to Jess from 7T, to Aaron from 7A, to Jamila in 7L, to Jane in 7T, to Angel in 8L, to Malika in 8U, to Lily in 8T, to Hannah in 8T, to Hannah in 8U, to Amelia in 8A, to Bianca in 8S, and to Yagoda in 8S. We are extremely proud of our Key Stage 3 scholars, and we know that this is the first graduation of such graciously gifted young ladies. Congratulations also to Sharon in 7T, who is in the 12th Birmingham Girls Brigade and has been named Girl of the Year for her perfect weekly attendance, punctuality, and uniform compliance. She also received her 3-year service badge and a life skill badge. Very well done to Sharon. We're very proud of you, and what an excellent achievement. Congratulations to Agnes in 8A, who was the wonderful winner of our weekend quiz on Mexico. Well done to such a graciously accomplished young lady, showing such superb geographical knowledge as well as excellent research skills. And so on to school events. On Monday, we had our Careers Day, which involved a range of activities for different year groups. Year 7 spent the day learning about careers involved in a sustainable development project. They each took on one of the roles in their groups and then designed and presented their own residential development to the year group, imagining that they were architects or civil engineers for Wilmot Dixon. Year 8 started the day with an assembly about the role of AI in future careers, with a particular focus on KPMG. They also took part in careers speed dating, where they questioned 20 different professionals about their career and their journey to getting to that career. The professionals ranged from a HSBC disputes advisor to a Severn Trent technician. Year 9 had the most inspirational experience at Birmingham Newman University. They were in awe of the fantastic facilities and also gained a wonderful insight into the life of a university student. Year 10 had their work experience, either in person or virtually, and Year 12 had a day to independently carry out an activity that will help their future career plans. Choices ranged from visiting a university to observing at a magistrate's court. Huge thanks to Mrs. Rigg for organising all of this and to all of the staff who came to support, as well as the parents who came in to deliver workshops as well. On Wednesday, some members of Year 12 had the opportunity to have a silent retreat at Sally Park Convent. They actually really loved this unique spiritual experience of being still and silent in the presence of God. This was greatly enhanced by being with the sisters at Sally Park Convent and experiencing the beautiful setting and grounds. Thanks to Alejandra for organising this unique spiritual experience. Well done to our students of art on having their work in a beautiful art exhibition at Birmingham City University. Thanks to Mrs. Drury and to Miss Rode for all of their hard work. The work is stunning and they have really set the standard for creative flair and artistic excellence. I really am in awe of the talent of our artists. Well done to all of the girls on this wonderful exhibition. Yesterday, we had the most brilliant food stalls in the gym, celebrating diverse cultural cuisines. Honestly, it was just great. The girls went to so much effort, and we greatly enjoyed sampling foods from Ghana, from India, Jamaica, Nigeria, Slovakia, and Zimbabwe. It was just amazing. Thank you to parents who also helped with this in baking and in also cooking some of the beautiful foods. And now we're going to have an update from Robin in 7U and Chelsea in 70 on their experiences on the recent pilgrimage to Lourdes.
My name is Robin and I had the pleasure to go to Lourdes this year. Before I begin, I'd like to say that thank you to the staff for giving up their time. We met on Thursday the 18th of June. I was excited but nervous for my first plane without my family, but I had an amazing time with friends such as Amelia or Lucy. We then headed to the hotel on the coach and we sang songs and had a good laugh. On Friday the 19th, we woke up in our dorms. I shared a dorm with my friend Evelyn and my new friend Eloise. We first walked to the grotto to have a look and then went back to the hotel to catch a coach to St. Jean Baptist and said some prayers led by a few of the girls. Then we looked at some handwriting practice of St. Bernadette and a piece of her rib bone. We had a walking tour of Lourdes and then had a bit of shopping time and free time. We then went for the candlelit procession. It was probably my favourite part of the trip. It was the most gorgeous procession I had ever been to, and at the point of darkness, we got back to the hotel for the night. On Saturday the 20th of June, we went to Mass off Basilica, then went to the Stations of the Cross. It was a beautiful walk, and the stations were made out of gold figures. They were incredible and detailed. We then had lunch, and then went to the water gesture, and then went to confession. We then went to the rosary at the grotto. A few people got chosen to read and we were so proud of them. And then we went to the procession in the underground basilica. On the Sunday the 21st of June, we got up and went to International Mass and then went to the lunch. We then had shopping time and got on a coach to the airport and took off. That was the end of my trip to Lourdes.
Hello, I'm Chelsea. During the Lourdes trip, I had a lot of fun and met new people who I never really talked to before. I would say my favourite part was on my birthday when we came back for lunch and they started singing happy birthday to me. It was really sweet, but I still felt a bit shy while they were doing it. I also really enjoyed saying three Hail Mary prayers in front of the crown statue of Mary, since I want to go back when I'm a bit older. Overall, I found the pilgrimage very special and I don't think I'll ever forget it. I would also like to say thank you to all the teachers that took us there and took care of us while we were there.
Thank you to Robin and to Chelsea for their beautiful update. How lovely to have a birthday in Lourdes. And thank you to the girls for sharing their insights and for expressing their gratitude so thoughtfully. And so on to forthcoming events. Year 7 are off to Breen on Monday, and we had our briefing this morning. We register at 7 a.m. in the new hall so that we can leave school just before 7:30 a.m. to get on the M5. The weather is looking cooler, thanks be to God, but is still hot. Now, there is no shelter on the beach at Breen, so please ensure that your daughter has sunblock, appropriate clothing, including head covering, and ensures that she also brings enough water in her water bottle, which can also be filled up throughout the day. After being on the beach, we then have the opportunity to go to the fun fair, where there's going to be great joy, and I'm sure you may well hear the screams, even here in Birmingham. The rearranged Year 7 Disco for Crohn's and Colitis UK is on Tuesday, the 14th of July, after school, 3:30 to 5:30 p.m. And this is for Year 7. And our wonderful Lucy has updated us about that before. Year 7 parents have also been sent the information about the opportunity to sign their daughter up for the French trip to Paris in July 2027, not to wish our lives away. However, we would be really grateful if you could respond by the end of term so we have an idea of numbers. Merci bien. Wednesday the 15th of July is the Pauline Reward Day, and it will be a day of ice cream, sweets, drinks and going to see a film, which is the just reward for having 100% attendance, no lates, having more than 15 positive logs and no negative logs. Well done to the girls on having achieved this. We break up at noon on Thursday, the 16th of July. And just a reminder that we have our usual phased return to school in September. Thursday, the 3rd of September, our new Year 7 will return to school. And then on Friday, the 4th of September, all pupils will return to school at normal time on 8:50. And now I just want to share a safeguarding issue with you. You may have seen on the news during the week how the Roblox gaming platform, as well as other gaming platforms, are being increasingly used by paedophiles as an avenue to make contact with teenagers and children and to exploit and often blackmail children, even as young as aged 6. In-gaming gifting is being used as a way to groom children so that they are then expected to give back something in return or are blackmailed to do something in return. These paedophiles are highly dangerous, and they are counting on parents and family members not monitoring their child's use of gaming chat. Now, we all know that teenagers think they are safe and that it would never happen to them, but they're not, and it does. With 4,000 children exploited through the Roblox gaming platform alone, there's nothing wrong with gaming. I mean, and who doesn't like FIFA 2026? But please monitor the live chat if your daughter is on a gaming platform. Make sure your daughter never sends photos, emails, telephone numbers, or her address in the chat. We may think she would never be as silly, but children can be easily manipulated to do so without thinking about the consequences before it is too late. Children and teenagers can be naive, but we cannot afford to be. Please monitor your daughter's communication on all gaming platforms and also on all social media. And to carry on with the depressing note, the summer holidays are prime time for paedophiles to gain access to children. And they know there are more children online because they're saying they're bored and they want to have the opportunity to meet with their friends online. So this makes the opportunities for paedophiles to gain access to children online or in person much easier. You may have seen leaflets about the summer holidays and having safety online that was sent out to you this week. There's also further information on the school website. I don't like to frighten you, but be concerned and above all, be alert. And with the help of God and our Blessed Lady, our girls will be safe and happy and enjoy the many great and wonderful things that online gaming and online activities can bring. And so on to Just One Thing, which this week is led by Miss Forrest.
Hello, everyone. Now, I know some of you are going to be thinking with this, it's July, why are you talking to me about September? And you are absolutely right, no one wants to spend the summer holidays thinking about starting school again. And the truth is, teachers don't either. The thought of September is not something I want to tackle yet, but it does have some advantages. There are a few simple things that parents can do over summer that are going to make a real difference for when September arrives and will not take a lot of time. I think one of the biggest things that parents can do is helping your daughter avoid that dreaded final weekend panic or Sunday night panic, maybe. I know I've seen it a lot before. 6 weeks of summer fly by, we're having a lovely time. And then suddenly we have to complete all of our summer home learning in just one sitting. And that is definitely not what it is designed for, especially when we're getting into those GCSE years. It should be spread out so that we can maximise that retrieval, get that information into our long-term memory, and just avoid that panic, really, which is not what we would want the night before an actual GCSE exam. So we are asking you to encourage your daughter to break it into more manageable chunks. It doesn't have to take over the holidays. In lower years, it can just be 30 minutes once or twice a week, maybe a scheduled time so you feel you've got that routine, or in older years, a little longer. But it's going to help reduce that stress at the end of summer and get everyone going back feeling confident, feeling prepared and feeling ready. So the other thing I believe is that summer is the most perfect time and a really important time to take the opportunity to talk to your daughter about the year ahead. Every single child is going to have some worry, whether it is small or feeling quite overwhelming, dependent on whatever year they're going into and their own personalities. Just asking, how are you feeling? What are you looking forward to? What might you want to achieve? What worries might you have? Now, I am well versed in teenage responses, I feel, in the nature of my job. And it is quite often we might get a one word response to what are your worries. But just asking, tell me more about that. That's going to make it feel more low stakes, more relaxed. And you'll find that it opens up, and most importantly, you look at a solution together so that they can feel that their voice is heard, that we're doing something about it, and just feel more confident. It doesn't have to be a formal conversation. In fact, it is definitely going to be better if it feels natural. Maybe you're going for a walk, maybe over dinner, or my favourite, in the car
where they can't escape. Maybe setting a couple of simple goals for September. Not 10 ambitious resolutions which will be forgotten by the second week back like we have at the start of the year. I know that start of the year in terms of New Year's resolutions, but just one small goal that feels really achievable. And most importantly, just reminding your daughter that preparation is not about being perfect. It's about giving yourself the best possible start so you can enjoy the summer, know you have that plan, make plenty of memories, have time to relax, which is so important, but just keep one little eye on that summer home learning, because September, unfortunately, may arrive sooner than we would like. Thank you for listening and have a wonderful summer break.
Thank you very much to Miss Forrest for those practical suggestions. Now, of course, we want everybody to have a wonderful and restful holiday and to have the opportunity to experience some peace and joy and time with family. But it is, as Miss Forrest said, always good to keep up with a little bit of learning, to do a lot of reading, and just to chat about the year ahead, about hopes and dreams. And as Miss Forrest suggested, just make 3 suggestions, action points for the year ahead that your daughter can work towards on the way to September. And so on to our prayer. Tomorrow is the feast of Saint Benedict, born in 480 AD, and known as the patron saint of Europe and students. He's also known as the father of Western monasticism, and is the patron saint also of monks, farmers, civil engineers, and those suffering from kidney disease. So in this last full week of term, I ask you, in your graciousness, to pray for a member of staff who has inspired and supported your daughter, and ask Saint Benedict to bless them. We also entrust our great girls to Saint Benedict, that he will inspire and support them, not only till the end of term, but also throughout the holidays with a well-deserved rest. And we conclude with Saint Benedict's prayer. O gracious and holy God, give us wisdom to know you, intelligence to understand you, diligence to seek you, patience to wait for you, eyes to behold you, a heart to meditate upon you, a life to proclaim you, to the power of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thanks so much for all your great support and phenomenal kindnesses. Your emails and cards of gratitude are appreciated more than you can ever know. We really do appreciate you and all of your unending support. Have a great weekend, and especially if you are watching the England-Norway game. And be proud of our great girls who embody the best values of our school and show that I am a St. Paul's girl and there is nothing I cannot achieve.